Luke chapter 22, I'm going to start reading at verse 31. We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Father, we thank you this morning for the blessings of the Lord upon us in our revival this past week. Thank you for Brother Ralph and for the ministry that we experienced and heard. And Lord, for the souls that received help, we give you glory and honor. Thank you for this assembly this morning. Pray your blessings upon every soul that has come this way. Every heart be encouraged and strengthened. I pray that souls would be blessed this morning. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the backslider's friend. In my text, Jesus is predicting the fall and the recovery of his disciple Peter. Peter will recover because Jesus wills his recovery. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Jesus valued the relationship with Peter because he loved Peter. How about that? Jesus valued his relationship with Peter because he loved Peter. And those among us who have failed don't need to plunge into utter despair because of that, because Jesus has prayed for you. And he values you. And he desires, just as he did with Peter, he desires a close fellowship with you. Now, I want to talk to you about this relationship between Peter and Jesus. First of all, when this fellowship began, when Jesus walked by where Peter is on the shores of Galilee, and he addresses them and says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter walked away from the fishing boat and fishing nets and started out after Jesus, following the Son of God. Later on, in the ministry of Christ, Jesus deals with this rich young ruler and tells him, sell all you've got and come and follow me. And he won't do it. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed you. This is the kind of attitude that Peter had toward Jesus. He forsook everything to follow after Jesus. There was a close fellowship between them. And when Jesus asked his disciples on one occasion at Caesarea Philippi, whom do you say that I am? Peter spoke for the rest of them and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter had a close fellowship with Jesus. He loved Jesus. He followed Jesus wholeheartedly. He left everything to follow Jesus and be a disciple of the Son of God. But that fellowship with Jesus was tested. And I want you to understand that everybody here in this assembly this morning, your fellowship and your relationship with Jesus is going to be tested at some time in the near future, if not right now. If it's not being tested right now, it will be tested just down the road. And Jesus was talking one day to the people around him and telling them that if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. They took his words literally. And some of them were offended at his words. And some of them said, hey, this is hard to understand. And the Bible says in John 6:60, that many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And you know, this is one of the reasons why people get discouraged. They get confused. They don't understand certain things. They don't understand certain doctrines. They don't understand the way certain people live. They don't understand perhaps hypocrisy that they see. Certain things they don't understand. So they get all mixed up and they get discouraged and they get ready to throw up their hands and quit because there are certain things they don't understand. But I'll tell you something. If you'll stay with Jesus, things you don't understand, Jesus will explain them to you by and by. And he'll clear up things because confusion's not of God. And the Lord will clear up things in your mind and heart if you'll just stick with Him, stay with Him. Over time, Jesus will teach you what you need to know. And because these people walked away, they never understood. Because they left Jesus, they never understood. And Jesus looked at the 12 and He said to them, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." His relationship, his fellowship with Jesus was tested. Everybody else seems to be walking away. But Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" And you may be tested in the same way. Your friends, family members may walk away from Jesus, may give up, throw up their hands and quit, and say, "I don't think I'll try it any longer." But brother, when your fellowship with Jesus is tested, just remember the words of Peter. "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, after this test later on, Peter is going to be tested again, and the fellowship with Jesus will be broken. And Jesus predicted it. In my text in verse 34, he said to Peter, "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that you know me." You're going to deny me three times this day before the cock crows. You're going to deny me three times. So Jesus predicted Peter's failure ahead of time. He knew that Peter was going to fail him, was going to deny him. And also Jesus knew that this trap had been planned by Satan. And he says as much in verse 31 of my text. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." So what Jesus was saying in essence is that Satan had applied for permission to test Peter. And permission had been granted to him by God. Because Satan cannot get to you unless he first gets permission from God. Satan hath desired to have you. He's come and asked permission to get at you. Permission has been granted to him. And so Satan is going to test you. Now Satan had a purpose in this. His purpose was to destroy Peter's relationship with Christ. It was his aim to turn Peter against Jesus. Now I want you to understand that this is Satan's aim for your life as well. It is his aim to turn you against Jesus. And whatever he can use to do that, he may use somebody that seems to be a follower of Jesus, mistreat you, says something about you, don't do you right, and he'll try to use them to turn you against Jesus. But this is his aim and his purpose, is to break your fellowship with Christ, tear down your relationship with Jesus, turn you against the Son of God. You remember Satan telling God about Job. He said, if you'll let me get to Job, he said, I will cause him to curse you to your face. I'll turn this man against you. I know you've blessed him. He's the richest man in the East. He's a godly man. But if you'll let me get to him, I'll cause him to curse you to your face. I'll turn this man against you. Do you think that this is Satan's purpose today? Absolutely. This is his purpose right now, is to turn you against God and to cause you to break fellowship with the Lord. And it wasn't just his purpose to destroy that relationship with Christ. It was his purpose to prevent any recovery of that fellowship. He didn't want Peter to ever have fellowship with Christ again, or to ever recover that relationship with Jesus again. And so this was his aim, to destroy that fellowship, destroy that relationship, and prevent any recovery of that relationship. You know, later on, Peter writes in his letters and says, by way of warning, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The reason he mentions afflictions is because afflictions often become the tool of the devil to turn us against God. When things go wrong in our life, when sicknesses multiply in our life, when troubles mount in our life, then the devil uses those circumstances, those afflictions, to turn us against God. And so he says, you resist the devil, you whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Other people are going down that same road, walking down that same path, suffering these same things, and overcoming the devil. You don't have to be overcome by the devil. You can overcome your adversary if you'll be sober and be vigilant and realize he's your adversary and understand his purpose. His purpose is to destroy your relationship with Christ and to prevent any recovery of that fellowship. You know, thank God, even though Peter denied the Lord three times he's asked, are you one of his disciples? I don't know him. You're surely one of them. I don't know him. I know that you're one of them. I saw you with him. And Peter, in order to emphasize that he was not one of them, began to curse. And you know, that's a good sign. You're not one of them. And that was what he used to convince the world, I'm not one of his disciples. He began to curse and to swear, said, I don't know him. Now, brother, you see Peter here, he didn't have to do that. I mean, this was Satan's purpose to turn him against Jesus, destroy that fellowship, destroy that relationship. Peter fell into the trap of the enemy. He followed Jesus afar off. When he should have been praying, he was sleeping. Hey, brother, you hear me? I said, when he should have been praying, he was sleeping. And Jesus rebuked him and said, hey, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And oftentimes when we should be praying, we're doing other things when it's critical that we be getting help for our soul. Brother, prayer is indispensable. If you're going to overcome the devil, you've got to be a praying man. You've got to be a praying woman. You've got to be a praying girl and a praying boy. I'm telling you, this has got to characterize your life. It can't just be something that you do sporadically. It can't just be something you do when you get in trouble. This is something you do every day. This is something you do all the time. You pray. You seek the face of God, because praying is the only way you can overcome your weakness. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And because Peter did not pray, and because he followed Jesus afar off. And listen, close the gap, brother. Close the gap, sister. Don't follow Jesus too far away. Something's going to get in between you and Jesus. Get up close to Jesus. Follow Jesus closely. Obey His word. Seek His face. And follow Jesus closely so the devil can't get between you. He was following Jesus afar off, and he failed to pray. And the devil accomplished his purpose and caused Peter to deny the Lord. Peter did not think he would do that. He didn't believe he'd do that. He told Jesus, "Lord, I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you into death. I'll never deny you." But he overestimated his devotion to Christ. And the Bible tells us that when a man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. It's very possible for us to become overconfident in the flesh and fail to pray and fail to get in the Word of God and fail to be faithful to the house of God. And the devil overthrows those who find themselves overconfident in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And Peter failed the Lord, even though he did not think it possible for him to do so. But thank God, his fellowship was restored. It was restored because of the initiative of Christ. Christ said to Peter, "I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Jesus prayed for him. Jesus knew he was going to fail, but Jesus willed that he recover. He prayed that his faith fail not, that your faith not utterly fail, that thy faith may not give out or disappear completely, that thy faith may not be totally eclipsed. Here was the grave danger that his faith would be extinguished, never to be revived again. But Jesus prayed that his faith not disappear completely. He prayed that his faith may not be totally eclipsed. He prayed that his faith may be revived again, that your faith fail you not. Jesus prayed for him, and Jesus loved him. He loved him even after he failed. When Peter denied the Lord, remember, he's out in the courtyard. Jesus is on trial. And while Jesus is on trial, Peter is out in the courtyard with the enemies, denying the Lord, taking sides against Jesus. And Luke tells us that Jesus looked at Peter. The cock crowed, and Jesus looked at Peter. There was a meeting of the eyes. Jesus didn't say anything to him. There's no record of Christ saying anything to Peter. But a look can communicate a lot of things. And I tell you one thing that Peter got out of that look. Jesus still loved him. Hallelujah. It broke his heart. He realized what he had done to Jesus. It broke his heart. Jesus still loved him. And Jesus forgave him. The Bible tells us that he went out and wept in the darkness of the night. He wept bitterly over what he had done to Jesus. And Jesus forgave him and restored him to fellowship and a relationship with Jesus. You know, this is something that everybody's got to understand, the love of God. It was David that failed the Lord so miserably. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, and the Lord dealt with him through the prophet Nathan. And David repented and cried out to God. And his prayer of repentance is found in Psalm chapter 51. And you remember how David prayed and he said, "Oh God, have mercy upon me. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Look at what David was looking at. David was focusing not on God's anger, not on God's wrath. He was focusing on God's loving kindness, on God's mercies. "Oh Lord, hear me. Help me, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You know, this is what the devil would like to hide from us, that God is merciful, that he's kind, that he's tenderhearted, that he's forgiving. The Bible says in Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon you. The devil don't want you to know that. When you failed God, he don't want you to know that. And so he'll hide from you the mercies and kindness of God, the loving kindness of God. But this is what we must focus on. When we have failed God, we must focus on this, that God is merciful and that he's tender and he's kind and he's willing to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon him. Peter wept bitterly. Jesus forgave him. And you know, when Peter got back to Jesus and that fellowship was restored, Peter made a pillar in the house of God. My, Jesus forgave him. Jesus took him back. Jesus restored him to fellowship. And Peter was determined that would never happen again. He became a pillar in the house of God. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, when James, Cephas, and John, Cephas is Peter, who seemed to be pillars, it's translated, were known to be pillars. Cephas or Peter was known to be a pillar in the house of God. Not a pillow, a pillar, a support, something you build on. Hallelujah. He's a pillar in the house of God. This man that failed God, denied the Lord, but now then he's determined, by the grace of God, I'll never do that again. And he becomes a pillar in the house of God. You know, sometimes people say, well, if you backslide, you can never become what you once were before. But I'm telling you about Peter, he became a better man than he ever was before. And I believe, brother, that if you, a man that's a backslider can come back to Jesus and make a better man than he ever was before. And that's what Peter did. He became a pillar in the house of God. Jesus told him, said, look, when you're converted, in other words, Jesus let him know, I believe you're coming back. I believe you're going to be converted. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. And this is what Peter set out to do, to be a source of strength for his brethren. He wrote two books in the New Testament, and in the 2 Peter chapter 1, he told them, he said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Here's a man who fell. But he says, I'm going to tell you some things. If you'll listen to me, you shall never fall. Jesus said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And this is what Peter made up his mind to do. I'm going to be a source of strength to the brethren. Not only am I not going to fall again by the grace of God, but I'm going to help somebody else so they don't fall. I'm telling you, brother, you can be a pillar in the house of God and a source of strength to the people of God. God will use you to build his kingdom, bless his people. You will strengthen the brethren. His response to the love of Jesus, forgiving him, pardoning him, taking him back into the fellowship, was so strong. You know, Peter overestimated his strength before. He told Jesus, I'll go to prison. I'll go to death with you, for you. He overestimated himself. But on his second go around, hallelujah, when he was confronted with the choice of either denying Jesus or dying for Jesus, he said, I'll die. I won't deny him. I'll die. And so Nero said, all right, you're going to die. We're going to crucify you. And Peter said, look, don't crucify me like Jesus. Hang me upside down. I'm not worthy to die like my Savior. Just crucify me upside down. And so Nero put Peter on a cross and crucified him upside down. And Peter gave his life for the Savior. Oh, my. His mind was made up. Jesus took me back to him. I'm not going to deny him again. I'll die before I disappoint my Savior again. He gave his life for him. You know, I'm so glad for you that have been coming back to Jesus in this meeting, praying and seeking the Lord. This blesses my heart. Oh, you've been in our prayers. We thank God for it. If you're seeking the face of God, and I want to encourage you. I don't want you to listen to the devil, and the devil tell you, you know, you fail, you can't never do anything, can't never be anything for God. I want to tell you something. You can be a better person than you've ever been in your life. Hallelujah. Jesus will make you a better Christian than you've ever been. Hallelujah. I tell you, you can be a pillar in the house of God, source of strength of the people of God. You can be a better Christian than you've ever been in your life. There may be somebody here in this service this morning that you're still wondering if the Lord can fix your life. And I'm telling you, Jesus can fix your life. No matter where you've been, what you've done, Jesus can fix your life. Hallelujah. I remember talking to a backslider one day. He'd been backslid for years. He said, you know, every day, while I was out in sin, I thought about my soul. Every day, I thought about my soul. And his life was so wrecked and so ruined, bound by alcohol. And he said that he had a dream one night. And in his dream, he said he was at an auto mechanic's shop. And there was a car sitting there in the shop, and the hood was open. And there was mechanics standing around this car. And on the walls were these, you know, plaques, master mechanic so-and-so, master mechanic so-and-so, and they're all looking at this car. And he went up, looked in this car and this motor, and it wires just everywhere and everything all messed up, and it looked like the biggest mess you ever seen. And he said those mechanics were standing there looking at it and shaking their heads like it's just and no hope for this one. It's just beyond repair. And he said off in the side there was a door to the office where the master mechanic was. And he opened that door and walked out. Walked over there to where those mechanics were shaking their heads, looking at that motor and shaking their heads. This mechanic had nail scars in his hands. He looked over in that motor. Everybody else was shaking their head about and saying, there's no hope for it. He looked at it. He said, boys, I can fix it. I can fix it. And I'll tell you, if your life is like that, it seems like that there's no hope and nobody gives you any hope. There's a master mechanic. He's got nail scars in his hands. It don't matter how bad it looks, he says, I can fix it. I believe it, brother. Oh, I believe it. Woo, hallelujah. I don't care how bad it's got. I believe that somebody can fix it. And his name is Jesus. And he's got nail scars in his hands, and he went to Calvary to fix it. And brother, there's nothing too hard for him to straighten out. Jesus can fix it this morning. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano. I'm going to open the altars. I want us to come and pray. There may be somebody here that you've been shaking your head, or others have been shaking their head about you and saying there's no hope. But I'm telling you, there is hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Jesus can fix it.
Yes, he can.
Praise God. Oh. I want us to stand together this morning. Altars are open. Come on into the altars. All of you that will and all of you that need help, come
Praise
on into these altars.
God.
Let the master mechanic work on your heart and your life. Jesus can fix it this morning. Praise God.